Brian and Bill's Job Seeker Podcast.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Brian, and on the line tonight, I have my good friend Bill. Hi, Bill. How are you?
I'm good, Brian. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
Very good.
We're going to talk to our loyal listeners, I guess, tonight about another Job Seeker podcast, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
And I'm wondering which direction we're going to go tonight. What do you have in mind?
Well, we're continuing along the line of some of the more difficult interview questions, and the next one that I want to deal with is a situation more than a question. It's called the silent treatment.
The silent treatment.
Yeah. The setup for this is that you're in the interview, you're already nervous, and you're dealing with the fact that you're nervous, but you're handling it. You've just had a question, and you've answered it where you believe that you've completely satisfied the interviewer's question. So you stop and you wait. And the interesting thing about the silent treatment is that the interviewer also sits there silently waiting. So what do you do?
So you would feel incredibly uncomfortable probably after 5 or 10 seconds of that pregnant silence, right?
Well, I think that's the suspicion. And I think when people do actually use this technique, which I believe is rare, they're trying to put you in a position where you are more stressed out than you would be just from the interview by stopping and not saying anything. And I think most people would start to think about something. I would think that a lot of what they think about is, did I just say something wrong? You know, should I, why has the interviewer stopped talking?
So it's a mind game, maybe.
I think it's a little bit of a mind game, but they are trying to find out whether you're going to start to fill the void and talk about something that is maybe relevant to the last question, maybe something not relevant to the last question, maybe not relevant to the job description. If you're going to try to start to fill that void, then it's a nervous reaction, and that nervous reaction gives them an advantage.
Well, you know what? It might not be a bad tactic now that I think about it, because you know, if you give them that pregnant pause, as they call it, it might be an opportunity to see if the person is good at thinking on their two feet and, you know, offering something that might be conversationally applicable.
Yeah, well, I think that's possible. You're certainly given the interviewee the opportunity to do something in the silence. And I think part of the purpose of the interviewer's use of the silent treatment is to find out what you'll do. Many people, I think, found in this, who find themselves in this situation, will try to start talking about something. Hopefully, they will keep it related to the job. But the real flaw is here: if they don't start talking about the job, they start talking about other things that either they might have thought about that might be relevant to the job, or might be something they could have expanded on the last answer to the last question. They may put themselves in a hole that they can't get out of. So I want people to be aware of what the trap of this is. And I think the trap of the silent treatment is they want to see what you do when you're under stress. Will you start to talk? Will you start to fidget? Will you go read your own resume? Will you wish you had a cigarette for a smoke break? What will you do? What will you do under stress?
Do you think that the message that we want to continue here is to try and stay focused on what you're there for?
Well, absolutely. I mean, if you get a treatment that is somehow not explainable, as this one might be, then you have to stay focused on why you're there. You are there to impress the interviewer sufficiently so that they will either close the deal and make you the offer, or move you forward to a person who can make an offer. So you need to be prepared for something like this to say, well, why do I think they're doing this? If you have prepared and thought about this before and you realize that maybe the silent treatment is because they want to put you under stress and see if you will react badly, then how would you rehearse to prepare for a question like this and to a situation like this? And what do you think you ought to do? Well, we certainly have a recommendation for a best answer, but I think I want our listeners to think very carefully about what happens when they're met with or faced with silence after a question.
Maybe it's a slow thinker, though. You know, maybe it's somebody that, you know, you've answered the question and you think it's incredibly long pause, between your answer and your silence. Maybe they're just cogitating and trying to think about what to ask you next, and maybe it would be not a good idea to interrupt.
Well, that's one of the tactics of a recommended answer is that you don't interrupt. You don't fill the void. You sit there, maintain your composure, stay as calm and as confident as possible, and wait. So now the question begins, if you're willing to do that, if you're capable of staying calm enough to be able to wait and not say anything, now the question is, how long do you wait?
Well, here's another thing, Bill, that I have used over the years, too, and I think it might be of some value, is that if you get one of those pregnant pauses, which goes on altogether too long, I think that an appropriate response would be to say, excuse me, may I ask you a question? If it goes on for like 10, 15 seconds to the point where you're incredibly uncomfortable with the amount of silence in there, and ask a question, an innocuous question is like, if I were to do this job, could you give me a brief description, just as a for instance, a brief description of what a normal day would be like for someone that did this job, and just try and lead it in your direction.
Well, that's a very good point. I mean, certainly if you wait for what you consider to be a long time and the interviewer is not doing anything, then you can try to fill the void with something that is relevant to the job. And one of the other job seeker podcasts we're going to do will be about preparing your own questions to be ready to ask the interviewer when they open the opportunity. You know, do you have any questions for me? You can certainly use some of those to fill this void. But the time frame that you mentioned, I think, needs to be discussed. If it's just 10 or 15 seconds and you can sense that somehow this interviewer is trying to trap you into a stress situation, I don't think that's long enough. I don't know what it is, but I think 10 or 15 seconds is too soon to be to try to start fill the void. Let them simmer in their own stew for a little bit. But eventually, you can either open up the top conversation by saying, do you mind if I ask my own question right now, or do you have something in mind? And if they say no, go ahead, then you can ask your question. The other possibility, which we recommend as one of the better answers here, is as politely and as calmly as possible, after several minutes, and maybe that's just a full minute, but could be a minute or two, you say, is there anything else that I can fill in on the question you just asked me? Because it may be that they were disappointed in it, I doubt it. But if they are, then that gives them a lead in to start to talk again and say something to you that relates to the job description.
You know, and that goes back to some of the things we've said in previous podcasts too. And if there's that long of a pause in there, then I would be wondering to myself whether or not the interviewer is genuinely interested in what you're talking about, or whether they're just going through the motions of interviewing just because their boss told them to, or something like that. And I think that might be one of the times where, as we said in earlier podcasts, it might be good if you sense that there's a lack of interest there. Not a lack of interest, but perhaps a lack of enthusiasm in interviewing, and ask them some off-the-walls questions about, like, where are you from, or where did you grow up, or something like that, and just try and take the conversation in a completely different direction, just to keep the dialogue going. I mean, I understand, as you said at the beginning of the podcast, that these things are rare, but right. when you do get somebody like that, perhaps it is better psychologically to try and draw them into your world rather than lay fallow in their world.
I can't disagree at all. I think if you get to the point where the interviewer has just stopped, and may, at one point you might have thought it was a tactic, at another you might have thought that they were just taking notes someplace else, in some other process you might think that they may be just confused or not sure where to go next, you might want to take control of the interview. And we will talk about questions you can prepare yourself for and homework that you can do in order to take control of the interview. And that's a very valid point, that you should be prepared to do that. In this case, if it is a tactic, you need to learn to wait them out, and you need to find out what it is that they're looking for. And if all they're looking for is a stress response from you, then you need to be as unstressed as possible, as calm and confident as possible while you're waiting them out as you can be. And then get back to either choose to take over the interview and say, okay, let's, you know, I'd like to ask some questions of my own. Start talking about the personal connections, or start talking about the job and the company and the history and all that other stuff. Or get back to them and say, you know, was there something that you thought I left out on the last point that I could add to? If you'll just tell me what that is, I'll be glad to fill it in.
You're right, Bill, and there's no question that you're right. And I guess we're both saying the same thing. It would be very important to, especially if you have someone who's a non-animated interviewer, to make sure that if he leaves the interview laying fallow, like I said before, that you use that as an opportunity to take matters into your own hands and very gently and effectively try and move it into your direction.
I agree. I think that's a good point that we should leave our listeners with.
And with that, again, we're running a little long on this thing. We're trying to keep these things to 10 minutes. Well, we only did 11 this time, but
well, that's good.
Yeah. Well, I guess we're getting back to where we are now. We do want to make sure that the people that listen to this podcast are able to give us their questions and things and that they want us to address. Yep. And so I'd like it very much if you would talk about that.
I'd be glad to. We do want feedback from our listeners, those of you who are out there paying attention to us. If there's something about this topic that you'd like us to expand on, if there are other topics you'd like to hear us talk about, please send us an email. The email address is whendoyoustoplooking@gmail.com. Let me repeat that again, whendoyoustoplooking@gmail.com. And if you have a specific question, you'd like to record your voice and attach that file to the email, send it to us, and we will play your voice and your question in our podcast, introduce the topic, and then we'll talk about that topic.
That sounds good. I would like very much to have some audio files so that we could actually hear the listeners calling in and asking about their particular situations, and then maybe we could talk about that a little bit. So, yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt, but you know, I really wish that more people would do that.
Well, maybe we'll get them this time.
Okay, well, right. With that, I think we're going to sign out.
All right. Good night, Brian.
Well, Bill, thanks for your help, as always. And we'll be back on the air before too much time goes by, and back with another episode of Brian and Bill's Job Seeker Podcast.
Ooh, yeah.
Made on a Mac.